Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Curious about electric vehicles? MTE's Drive EV program has resources to help you learn more. Visit driveev.com. State Representative Mike Sparks joins me here this morning, and special guest. So, Mike, so you're just loafing around and don't have anything to do now that session's over?
You know, I brought you a cup of coffee, and I unfortunately spilled, well, I brought you and me and spilled mine in the parking lot outside, but anyway.
I noticed there was a drop in there.
I took a little bit of yours. Shout out to Carson Guidry at McDonald's in Smyrna, just very polite young man, and appreciate his work ethic over there.
If you'll hold that just an inch further higher there, it'll cover your face.
Oh, and we won't,
you might want to move it back. Other way.
But shout out to a young man, very polite and got a great work ethic.
Just like me, right?
Yeah, awesome.
Warm and
fuzzy.
Fuzzy, yeah.
Just huggable, you know?
Yeah. How long have you been out of session here?
A week.
A week?
Yeah.
How's
we'll
it feel?
Stay busy. You know, man, it's a relief. I mean, it's stressful up there in Nashville.
Can I ask a question about that?
Very stressful.
Why is it so fast? Why is it always we've got to get done by this date? And it seems like you don't have time to read bills like the bus bill last year that messed up a lot of things and all that. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I do think we go too fast. That's why I think we need more. Like just now with Dr. Krause and the two guests that you have, we were talking about dual enrollment, and she was telling me that some of the programs, well, here, I gave her my card, hey, follow up with me, and let's talk more about, because I want to improve on dual enrollment to relieve some of the overcrowding, and the sooner, in my opinion, we can get young students, whether they're 11th grade or 12th grade, to get in the workforce or get into the TCAS, to get into MTSU or Motlow, it frees up seats in our schools, because, you know, as everyone knows, we're busting at the seams. Our infrastructure is overwhelmed. Schools are overwhelmed. Jails are overwhelmed. And it's totally unsustainable. So we've got to start come up with new creative ideas, new solutions for some of the problems we see today.
It would seem to me that maybe it would be good to, like, start the session, introduce all the bills that you're going to introduce, and then maybe take a little time to do research on those bills, talk with people in the community, take 2, 3, 4 weeks.
We can definitely improve. I mean, they want to limit some of the days that we're up there. We usually get it out at end of May or end of April, early May. But you know, back years ago with the Democrats, they got out like June and July. But I think locally we should have more meetings, whether it's the Chamber of Commerce, whether it's MTSU, whether it's Motlow, whether it's meeting with Mayor Carr and Chairman Reed and Harris and others to discuss issues, or the school board. You know, I always like the term Kaizen, and I got that from Nissan working out there, the Japanese management philosophy, which is constant and never-ending improvement. And the Japanese excelled under the leadership of the late Dr. Deming, who helped really transform their entire economy after World War II. I mean, it's a really amazing story of Deming's approach. And it's really just the relationship with Japan and America today is just almost like a God thing with all the turmoil that we went through. But the Japanese, they build a great product. We've got Nissan over here that's transformed lives, including mine and my relatives, and transformed our community. But it's constant and never-ending improvement. Government is broken. It's broken. It's broken at the local level, the national level. And, you know, I hate to say the state level, but we can really improve. That's why I like McDonald's so much. It's not they got a great hamburger, but the process. You know, I use that app. I got that thing for $1.09, and sometimes I get stuff free because I get
spilled half of it, but
spilling it. But you know, I said this in workforce development meeting the other day with the Department of Human Resources. I said I wish every young person, whether 15, 16, 17, could work at McDonald's or Kroger or Wendy's or Crystal's to learn the value of work. And that's what Dan McAnally's here today, talked about the Leader Mill and some of their programs that they're wanting to put together.
Boy, it's almost like you've done this radio thing. That's what we call a segue.
Is
that good? Am I doing good?
Well, that one time, I hate to
give you... Is that some nice encouraging words?
Blind squirrels and acorns, right?
Yeah, yes. That's okay.
Well, you know, what's that? The five love language. You ever read that?
Yeah, I have.
Have y'all really?
Oh,
seriously?
Yeah. That's a great book.
Anyways, You know, it is real. I mean, it really is real. And men, we don't ever take time to study that.
Mine and my wife's are completely opposite. So that's why there's conflict. I bet yours is too.
My wife's is, yeah, it is. In fact, we were fighting. I shouldn't tell you on our radio, but we were fighting yesterday. And
how about some dirty laundry?
I bought some roses. I bought some roses for her earlier, but I was already there. They were there. They were easy to get to and grabbed them, and they were a good deal. But little things like that tickles my wife. And my wife, anyways.
So she got mad at that? What did you
have? No, she was tickled.
No, the last time you told me you bought her roses, you also bragged on the air about you got them discounted.
Oh, I got a discount.
Yeah, that's right. On the air.
No, I had to pay full price at Walmart for these bad boys.
All right.
But anyway, it's a real issue that, you know, we just celebrated 36 years of marriage, and which is a miracle. My dad's married 5 times. But that's what segues into this program. At least I had a father who was there. He was difficult.
Amen.
But he drilled. You know, he was military, so he drilled learning to work on cars, learning to be self-supported. You had to walk to work when I was 13 and 14 for $1.50 an hour. Those things really build character. Today's generation, I had somebody the other day at a chamber meeting didn't like what I was saying. You know, I said, what are your solutions? She had zero. But the guy that was on the radio with me a couple of days later, he had solutions. He had a mentorship program. Spencer, I think I got his car. But anyways, you know, today there's too many people griping, complaining, and it's people like Dan that want to do something about it.
Well, tell me about Dan, Men of Hope, and your Leader in Me program, and kind of kick us off there with maybe an overview here of what you do.
Our organization is called the Leader Mill. You can find it at leadermill.org. Listeners may want to thumb through that while we're chatting, but LEADERMILL.org. And we're building a school where we're going to be training 6 young men every year in blue-collar skills, life skills, spiritual disciplines. We're going to cram as much as we can into a 9-month training program. And at the end of it, if it's up to me, we're going to push them out of the back of a AC-130 and say, take that village for Jesus and make sure they have running water. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. That's the Leader Mill in a nutshell.
Yeah,
we've got some interesting ways that we're going to go about that, and there's more information at the website leadermill.org. We, in the meantime, while we're building that, we're doing some pilot programs where we're training young men in particular disciplines, and we're gathering great mentors from all over who are not only skilled in their disciplines, but they also have a heart for Jesus and they have a heart for teaching. A couple of weeks ago, shout out to one of my newer friends, Mr. Steve Bass, who owns Bass Tire in Nashville. I don't know if I get in trouble with the FCC by out there, okay?
Only Mike gets in trouble with the federal government.
There you go. It was his idea, if anybody comes asking. We had a class called How to Change a Flat Tire Without Killing Everybody in the Process. And we had some young guys that didn't know the business end of a lug nut, and we trained them that morning. And one of the guys out there teaching was Mr. Bass, who's got at least 50 years experience with tires, right? And one of my best photos of the day is a picture of Mr. Bass side by side with a young guy that had about 50 minutes of experience. You got 50 minutes and 50 years both working on the same tire, and that's pretty cool right there.
Yeah.
We've got some other classes that are coming up. This Saturday, we've got one that's how to handle yourself in a job interview. In today's economy, there's a lot of competition for the jobs that are out there. In a couple of weeks after that, we've got a basic plumbing class on how to do common toilet repairs. We've got some Christian plumbers who are going to come in and teach these guys how a toilet works and how to repair those things. We've got a barbecue 101 class coming up. We've got
That's smart.
Yeah, we're gonna cook and barbecue a bunch of meat, and then we're going to deliver it to some assisted living centers or senior citizens' homes and let them throw that in their dinner menu for that night, you know. We've got another small engine repair. We've got I got some working on a class. It's still developing, and it's going to be harder to get just because of the nature of their job. But we've got some Special Forces guys over in Clarksville who have offered to come teach our guys land navigation, where they'll take a land topographical map, show them how to use the compass and the protractor and how to count their steps, and they'll learn about something called internal drift. We all have internal drift. We either drift to the left when we walk or we drift to the right, how to know what that is, how to compensate for it, and then we're going to be applying Christian principles to that, right? What what path are you on, and what are the things in life that cause you to drift away from that path. So all of this is going to be taught by men who love Jesus. And what inspired this in large degree was a question I was mentioning to Mike earlier. The question is very simple. What are our daughters going to marry? We have an obligation to our daughters to make sure that they have the best options possible when they get ready to raise a family of their own. And so we can either say, it's not my job, I raised my boys, or I didn't have any boys, or we can be a part of the solution. So we're taking that very seriously. The data tells us now that women are delaying getting married longer and longer and longer. I think there's lots of reasons for that. But one of them is that they look around and they're not very impressed with their options. And I got to say, in large part, as I go throughout my day, maybe you see this too, as I see the young men that I bump into here and there, on the whole, it's not a very impressive lot. And of course, they have some responsibility for that, right? But I don't think it's only their fault. I think a lot of us have dropped the ball in the way that we're teaching the next generation. It wasn't always that way. Somehow we got too smart by a half, maybe 30 or 40 years ago. And we've decided that the skills and the wisdom that young men have or older men have in the church really don't have a lot of value if they didn't go to seminary, if they don't have a sheepskin to show for it. And I disagree with that. I think that what we have learned over the last 30 or 40 years is that when we send our young people off 600 miles to some institution, some university, some college, almost never, not always, but almost never do they come back better off. It's not obvious to me that we are so deficient in the people around us that we can't have an impact in training our next generation, even if it is just training them before they go off to college.
You know, Felicia said the same thing to Mike. It's not much to look at back in 36 years ago. But
no,
you know,
dude, I had it going on, brother.
Yeah. Did you?
I really did,
yeah,
seriously.
Mullet and all.
I did.
So nice. He's also a self-proclaimed, you know, used car guy. So you may get him to teach a class on how to pick the best used car.
Okay, we're
going to
do all right. That. Yeah.
Well, I've got, if you go online, if you just Google how to inspect a used car, you'll see a video. We produced probably 15 years ago. It's got 120,000 hits. But when we produced that, Ian and I that helped me, you know, we had it was really females that would call us from North Carolina, Colorado. But it kind of tells you how to really not get ripped off. But I'm telling you, this stuff is really serious. I had I won't say which person this is, but I had a person of the day trying to kind of help, young person. It's got advanced degrees, put it that way, advanced degrees. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to do a letter for me. You know, hey.
Recommendation?
No, a letter. Just write the address on a letter.
Oh, okay.
On an envelope.
Okay.
And they didn't know what to do. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, nobody uses the mail anymore.
Well,
it's always electronic.
I know
right?
Now. I mean, I thought I was the only one that sent thank you cards, but and she's a sweet young girl, very professional, but did not know how to fill out a letter.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Write a check.
Yeah.
Well, that happened in my own home. One of my sons was doing some side work and somebody paid him with a check. He didn't know what to do with it. He'd never been into a bank to cash a check before. Every job he had was direct deposit. Every transaction he had done was swiping with a card. He didn't know the process. And so I failed to some degree in preparing him for that. But yeah, that is kind of a bygone era, the paying with the checks. I think I'm one of the few guys that still
write
checks.
But, you know, it's still here. It's still something that you should know. But, I mean, these are important skills. You mentioned the next few classes coming up. So do you sign up for all of them? Do you sign up on a case-by-case basis? And tell us about that and where these actually take place.
We throw them up on the website a couple at a time. So right now we've got three classes up there that you can register for individually.
Okay.
Right? The one for this Saturday, deadline is, I think, midnight tonight.
Yeah.
And we limit these classes. It's first come, first serve, no more than six. Our mentor-student ratio will remain very, very low on purpose, okay? 2 weeks after this Saturday is the plumbing class. You can still enroll for that. Leadermill.org, LeaderMill.org. And then the next one, the Barbecue 101, those three events are up on the website, and you can register for those. We have a $5 registration fee, which has nothing to do with anything more than measuring commitment, right? We're not going to abuse our mentors. We're not going to, and these guys take this stuff very seriously. They do a lot of preparation for these classes, and we're just not going to have them do all that prep and give up their Saturday. And then young men, not picking on anybody in particular, but I think you know what I'm talking about, just decide that they're too tired on a Saturday morning to show up.
Yeah.
So
have some, a little skin in the game.
Some,
yeah, amen.
You know, we did one for $10, and we got some pushback. And I just thought, okay, how about $8?
Yeah.
How about $6? How about $3.17? It has to be a non-zero number. I don't care what it is, but they have to have some skin in the game. Amen.
And bring it in cash, not a card, right?
or pelts and skins. Yeah, we'd like to trade in beads as well, too. But look, here, and I'll throw this out. I know we're running out of time. I don't think it's possible to produce men, let alone good men or great men. I don't think it's possible to produce men if we insist on continuing to treat them like children. And having a young man go online and register is not an insurmountable task. I had got some pushback. I said, well, did you remind them? Did you send them a text? Did you send them a follow? And I say, no, they're grown men. If you're telling me that we have to employ those techniques as we do with children, then fine. Put their mother on the phone. Let me talk to mommy, because mommy's going to be the one that's responsible for getting them out of bed on a Saturday. Mommy's going to be the one to putting up the $5.
When they're 35.
When they're 35.
It happens.
Now look, if we're talking about fourth graders, we would never dream of dealing with the fourth grader one-on-one for that rafting trip, right? We would want to go with the parents because they're children. Now, when you're 18, it's about time to start taking care of yourself. And so you are required to register, and you are required to pony up the $5 or whatever it is.
One quick thing. Where are you doing these?
In Smyrna.
Okay.
The classes happen at different locations depending upon the disciplines, right?
Okay.
We've got a rifle class that's coming up, which is a different class than a handgun safety, right? And that will be done not in a church parking lot or in my driveway. We'll do that out at designated site. I scoped that out yesterday. But this next one coming up is at Hope Fellowship in Smyrna.
Okay, very good.
On Sam Ridley Parkway.
You know, this year...
Not on Sam Ridley. It's on...
Lee Victory. I passed HJR 131, which is about mentorship and the fatherless. And 90% of the men that's incarcerated today, which we're spending about $1.4 billion on, it's $1,400 million, there's a direct correlation between lack of fathers. But I had lawmakers get up and speak about it. Had a black lawmaker get up, Antonio Parkinson, shared a story where he brought a gun to school when he was in high school. He was going to take out a guy. He said he ended up getting arrested. Somebody intervened. Somebody seen the gun. He got arrested. Somebody talked to him and influenced him. He went in the Marines. So here's a guy that's now productive versus if he would have shot and killed a kid, he'd probably serve 10 years at cost of taxpayers. Yep. In juvenile custody, about $150,000 a year. Fiscal impact of that's $500,000. You know how many lobbyists are lobbying for this kind of stuff, Brian? Zero. And it really makes me sick because the media, Phil Williams never going to do a story on that. In fact, I called him out 5 times this year. I hope Phil comes at me with something sarcastic because that way maybe he will cover these issues. Because I'm telling you, Brian, I just got on the phone with a young guy. He's 30 years old. He's in L.A. at the Capitol. I said, man, I'm so worried about this nation, where we're going to be in 20 years. Kids can't afford a home. I mean, the infrastructure, we're overwhelmed with taxes. Look at Metro. They're going to run people out of Metro. They're going to come to this area. Then we're going to be run out, and we're going to try to move somewhere. And it's really scary. And I challenge anybody that wants to debate me, any MTSU professors, Phil Williams, just let me know. I'll show up at Tucker Theater and debate this. So thank you, Dan. Thank you, Brian, for the coverage on this.
Absolutely. So the Leader Mill.
Leadermill.org.
Leader Mill, not the.
No, Leadermill.org.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be sure to put that up on the podcast as well, up here in just a few. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, fellas.
All right. That's going to do it here for our show today. Again, the podcast will be up pretty shortly at WGNSradio.com under podcast and Rutherford Issues. So check it out there. Have a wonderful day, everybody. See you back here next time.